There. Yes. Let's have a look. Joe, can we have our next? You might need to skip the next slide. And next one. Go to the next one. Let's see. But go back. It's double clicking, just one click. No, forward. Sorry. Okay. All right, thank you. Well done. Yes, it's right there. Can you see verse 1? Let's read it. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't trust, but test the spirits. That's the only thing for you to remember this morning. When John says test the spirits, he's talking about people. He's not talking about ghosts or any. He's talking about people. He calls them false prophets in the same verse. Did you see that? He's talking about people who come along and say, God has sent me to teach you. I come with God's authority. You need to listen to me. In other words, he's talking about people like me. What I'm doing right here this morning as I stand up and teach. This, says John, is your greatest danger. Did you know that? Did you know that? Next little bit, Joe?
There it is.
Why is that such a problem? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John has already said, if you've been listening into 1 John, he's already said that the world is a place where people don't want God. So he's not talking about the earth and what it's like. He's talking about our hearts. That we're naturally in our hearts, we tend to say to God, we don't want you, I'm not interested in you, I'd rather live life on my terms, my way. We don't know the Father, says John. And from that same place come these people who teach things that are not true. He doesn't say don't believe anybody, but he says test who is telling the truth and who isn't. Now, does that surprise you? It shouldn't surprise you. It's exactly what Jesus said. Joe, let's have our next one. Now, Jesus said this. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You can find that in Matthew 7. In your sheet, you've got a little handout of other passages that say similar things. Do you know, years ago, I used to work with sheep on a farm. I didn't really enjoy working with sheep on a farm. I have to admit they were pretty smelly and not very intelligent and extremely stubborn. But they were very, very precious to the farmer. How horrible to think that a wolf could tiptoe in disguise and devour them. Of course, we know that wolves don't do that. But people do. People do that. The churches, these churches John has just written to, is writing to, have just lost a bunch of people from the congregation who were doing just that, who had sneaked in and had taught false things to everyone there. And it had damaged them. No wonder John says, don't trust, but test the spirits. Still true today. It's a very simple point, this. Sadly, and boys and girls, you need to hear this as well. Sadly, not everyone who teaches you about God is telling the truth. Someone may speak about God. They may even speak about Jesus. They may be very nice. They may be very funny. They may tell great stories. You may think, I really like listening to that person. But that doesn't mean they're telling you the truth, says John. How do you know I am? Honestly. You might think, well, I know Ayla. I know a bit about his family. I know where he trained. I know the people who employed him. We can trust him. What about you for you as children? How do you know that as your All Saints Club leader teaches you something about God, that it's true? Or you guys who are in 421, how do you know it's true? How do you know when you go to your growth group that it's true? I'm not saying it isn't. I'm simply saying to you, how do you know? Because clearly John and Jesus say that not everyone will tell the truth. Our next little one, Joe. See if we get this one. Perfect. It means that we need to be ready to test. Some of us will have seen Mr. Bean on TV when he went to church. And when he was at church, it was terribly boring. And you can tell by the guy next to him that he's terribly bored. And he had to work really hard to keep himself awake by sticking matchsticks on his eyelids. Now, I hope that's not like it for us when we come to church. But it's very easy, isn't it? Quite seriously, it's very easy to rock up to church, sit in the same old seats, and sit very comfortably. And someone gets up to preach, whether it's in the pulpit, or it's here, or wherever it is, and think, well, I wonder if they're going to say anything interesting about my life today. But John says we need to wake up because we're in danger. There is danger here. It's your job as the congregation to check that what is being said is true. Did you know that? I'm sorry if you thought that that isn't part of your responsibility, but it is, says John. Parents, it's your responsibility, our responsibility, to not only teach our children God's word, but to equip them to be more discerning. So it's so easy to be tricked, so easy to be confused, so easy to be led astray. We need to teach our children. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? You know, the place we do that, of course, is to come back to God's word. John will show us that in just a minute. But you'll know as well as I do that there are churches that you can go to where there are no Bibles at all. And John would say that is as dangerous to your spiritual health as going to those blowholes and sitting down with your legs over the Southern Ocean waiting for a wave to sweep you away. Now, our church, we have Bibles. But if you never open your Bible when you come here, that is just as dangerous. Just how do you know that what I'm saying is true? It's a simple point. Don't trust, but test the Spirit, says John. How do we do that? Well, we're going to find out just in a moment. We're going to have a break, and we're going to find out in a minute how we do that. John gives us two tests. Be encouraged. Again, chat to the person next to you. What have we found out so far? One main idea, what is it? Okay, just chat to the person with you. Let's just refresh our memories, make sure we're all awake. Oh, sorry, but yeah, I'm quite tired today. Let's talk to one another. Okay. Do you remember John is writing to a group of churches who have had the horrible experience, really, of some people coming in and teaching things that were not true, and it's confused and it's damaged. Now they've gone, and John is writing to say, look, you are the children of God. That's been a big theme through 1 John, but you need to watch out. Don't trust, test the Spirit. This is terribly important. This is terribly important. Our spiritual health depends on us all as a church, even today, being wide awake, ready to test. Now, how would we know if someone came in and wasn't telling us the truth? They don't wear T-shirts saying, I am here to trick you. It'd be so much easier if they did, but they don't. And John says, in fact, it's not that difficult to work it out. There are two tests. Here's the first one. Joe, could we have our first little slide? Thank you so much. Let me just read verse 2 and 3. This is... I'll read it here because I'm getting a sore neck. 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So John says, look, there are two opposites the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. That simply means those who are opposed to the real Jesus. And this is the test. The test is simply this. Who do they say Jesus is? So do they teach that Jesus, the man, is also the Christ, the divine king, who is promised by the prophets in the Old Testament? Was Jesus the one who came in the flesh and ate and drank and walked around and got tired? Was that Jesus really the same as the Christ who would come to heal and drive out evil and give sight to the blind and raise the dead? Is that Jesus the same one who would be the Christ who would die for our sins? The Son of God, the Savior, the Lord over the grave, our only hope. Are they one and the same person, Jesus and Christ? And John has already said yes. But do they teach that? It's not a difficult test, is it? Is Jesus really the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord over the grave, our only hope? Of course, I know in my family, I'm sure some of us here know as well, people who do put Jesus and Christ together as a name, but don't yet understand that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, our only hope in life. If you're here today and you've not quite put those two together yet, that Jesus wasn't just a man, but he actually is God's last and final hope for us, please, please keep coming. Please investigate. Please keep asking questions, because that is exactly who the Bible says he is.